Well, good morning. It is so exciting to be with you when God is stirring hearts and doing good things. Thank you to Kenny Cameron for sharing for the Gideons this morning. And we love having any and all of the Gideons here. And so we're excited to hear what God is doing. So if you're listening by radio or video and you haven't been supporting anything, the Gideons are a great place to support. If you don't know how to do that, you can get a hold of us or you can send us a check and we'll get it to them. Just make sure you mark Gideons on it. But we just love that group and we love to be a part of what God is doing in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are on still in Philippians. Imagine that. And last week, oh my goodness, if you were not here last week, we had a computer glitch, and so the video didn't get recorded, but the other computer worked, and so the audio got recorded. Marnie and Kathy and Marilyn and Debbie did a phenomenal job talking about Fill My Cup. So if you missed our Mother's Day service, please check that out. It is so good. So good. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your hearts with us and what God is doing through you guys.
So
we could have them, yeah. Yep, so we'll get the video going, and then you guys can just come up and do it again. Debbie, do you want to do that? Do you want to do it again? So thank you for being willing to let God use you guys. We appreciate that. We love to hear different voices, and again, God's doing great things. So we last time that I talked, which was 2 weeks ago, I titled the message. I didn't tell you that, but when I put it on the online, I titled it, I think, Is Obedience a Bad Word? Right? And so in Philippians, we got to this verse, Philippians 2:8, and it says this, and being found in appearance as a man, talking about Jesus, Jesus humbled himself. So we're talking about humility because we're supposed to have this same mindset is what it's talking about in context here. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the way that Jesus manifested humility, so we love talking about humility, but how do you actually really be humble, right? How do we be humble? Well, there's all kinds of ways, but one of the ways, in Philippians chapter 2, it's challenging us, Paul is challenging the Philippians to have this same mindset that Jesus had this same attitude of humility. Look at someone and say, humility. This attitude of humbleness, humility that Jesus had. And then Paul is this beautiful little hymn or poem, they think it is. It's kind of an ancient, we're kind of right in the middle of that, that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. How did he humble himself? By becoming obedient, and even by being obedient to death on a cross. But his humility was worked out in his obedience. It's great to say that we're humble, but are we living it out? Is it changing how we interact and what we do? All right. So just a quick review of just a couple things from last week that we talked about, that there's two big roadblocks to obedience. Because, I mean, man, who loves talking about obedience? Yeah, tell us more about that, right? We kind of cringe. And one reason is because of our sin nature. Maybe you guys don't have one of those. Anyone ever wrestle with your flesh? Or our culture. Both of those things are at war against our response of obedience to the Lord. Your sin nature, I don't know if you know this or not, but your flesh wants, the Bible would tell us, wants what's contrary to God. And we think it's just us. Well, I just want what I want. Often, and the Bible tells us this, that our flesh is kind of an enemy towards God. That's not good news, is it? Is that just, we should all take a moment of mourning for our flesh that is supposed to be dead, right? We're going to have a service for it and celebrate that it's passed. But unfortunately, until we're in heaven, until the other side of this thing, there's still going to be a little bit of that left in us, hopefully less and less every day. Less and less. Say less and less. Less of me, John said, and more of you, right? We're going to decrease. He's going to increase. And then culture, the voice of culture is just saying, oh, you do you. Come on, you be your true you. That's going to end in death. Man, you're going to celebrate that for just a moment. And it is a road that leads to destruction. Man, so we won't get carried away on that because that was last week. We talked about what is biblical obedience. This is kind of what we ended with. And the Greek word for obedience, hupakoi, means hypo. It's the two parts of that word. Hypo means under, and akouo, the word acoustic. Acoustic guitar. Like this is an acoustic guitar here. This one right here. It has that chamber inside of it that resonates. It's got Sitka spruce or some other kind of spruce on top usually. And that skin on top, that wood, vibrates. It's acoustical. It's sound vibrations. And that's the root of that akouo, acoustic. It means to hear. So biblical obedience means to hear and sit under. Obedience is all, and that's what it says, obedience is all about hearing. So to obey the truth means to sit under the sound of truth, to hear while sitting under. Isn't that good? Just let the concept of that soak in. It's not just about trying to find a list of rules of do's and don'ts, because there is those. Don't ever think that there's not those. There is, but that's not the heart of it. The heart is to hear Jesus. The heart of it is to hear God and then come under him. He's our Lord, right?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I know. Well, guys, until next week, we got to sort this issue out. Jesus is Lord, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Thank you. I thought, Kenny, I was coming to your church next, because I don't know what. I thought we were a scary moment for a second here. Jesus is Lord, and so we're sitting under him. We want to hear his voice, and he's given us a whole book full of his revealed voice, and we want him to quicken those words in our hearts and say, yes, I want to follow that. I want to obey that. And I think this is the last quote from last week. It's Andrew Murray. He was born in 1826, I think it was. So it's 100 years old or so. But this quote says, God sent Christ into the world to restore. Say restore.
Restore.
To restore. See, obedience was broken in the garden. It was broken. It was broken. Christ came into the world to restore obedience to its place in our hearts and lives, and to restore man to his place in the obedience to God. Jesus Christ came, and becoming obedient unto death, he proved what the only true obedience is. He worked it out and perfected it in himself as a life that he won through death, in which he now communicates to us. So anyways, Jesus was obedient. He walked out his humility by obedience, even to death. He perfected that. He won life, and now he communicates that life. And in this new life that we have is this restoration of obedience to God. And I can tell, even when I say that, it's just we want to cringe a little bit, don't we? Because we just want to do what we want to do. And so I want to share this next statement. This is all from here on out. It's all new content. That we are tempted to feel that obedience involves losing something instead of gaining and being invited into something glorious and amazing. As long as you have the mindset that if I'm obedient, I'm missing out on something. If I have to obey God, well, then I'm losing out on something. You're going to struggle with, number one, the biblical concept of it, and number two, the fun of it. The enjoyment of it, the kingdom presence of it all. Obedience is this being invited into this fellowship with God, sitting under him and walking out with a great big giant yes. Yes, I sit under your lordship. I want to listen to your voice. I'm listening, God. I'm reading, letting the word of God change me. I'm saying yes. I'm listening, saying yes. I'm reading, I'm listening, saying yes, and I'm doing. That's obedience. It's this communication, this fellowship with Jesus. It's not just a list. It's not just a you better. It's I get to. I get to find this path of life that is better than I could have ever imagined. Jeremiah Johnson says this, obedience is the fruit of being loved, not an attempt to earn love. It's the result. When I'm loved by God and I know that I'm loved by God and I understand that I'm loved by God, the fruit of that in my life is yes. Why would the God of the universe that knit me together in my mother's womb, that created my life, why would I not say yes to that? Yes, yes. It's the fruit of that, not to earn love. It's not to earn God's favor. It's not to earn anything, right? Remember we said it before we started the message? Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed, but alive in your hands. We sang that song this morning. Your grace, you love me enough. I want to say yes to you. All right, we got 3 points today, and there's one of these in here that I think, I hope, I pray, as I was preparing this, I kept coming back to it, and I'm like, I think this is going to really connect some dots this morning. So I hope that I'm not disappointed. I hope you're not disappointed. I hope we all walk out of here going, yeah, that made sense. That was good. So point number one, obedience is not a feeling. More than a feeling. Right, okay. It is more than a feeling, right? Obedience, it's not a feeling. It is not a feeling. You are infinitely more likely to obey your way into feeling than we are to feel our way into obeying. If Jim Conser waits until that moment where he feels like doing the right thing, well, let me tell you, there's a lot of other urges there that are just looking for an outlet, right? Yeah, don't you laugh too much, Curtis, because I think you are peas in a pod. Aren't we all just making fun? I mean, we're just having fun. But just, like, seriously, if we wait till we feel like doing the right thing in God's eyes, we're going to be waiting a long time, aren't we? I mean, sometimes we do. Sometimes we all have an accidental good day once in a while where we just, I feel like being holy today. But most of the time, we're fighting that flesh. We're fighting the other voices in our life. We're fighting being weary. And if we wait for our feelings, how great would your marriage be if you waited until you felt like loving your spouse some days before you treated them well? Or maybe you do that. Maybe you're like, isn't that how it's supposed to go? Talk to us afterwards, because we've got some news for you. That's a sure way to end a good thing fast. We say yes, dear, and yes, honey, when we feel like that, right? It's a sacrifice. But you know what? After a while, it catches up. Your feelings catch up. Ty Gibson, I quoted him a couple times last time, and there's a long quote here, and I've kind of just highlighted the first part of it because I don't want you to keep reading through the rest of it. So just stop where the bright text is, okay? Read this with me. Don't read ahead, okay? God's law looks and feels different from the inside than it does from the outside. Listen, once you embrace its stunning vision of life as relational integrity, God's law feels liberating rather than restricting. We tend to feel that the commands of God and the laws of God want to squish me and back me into a corner. I can't do this and I can't do that. If you're only kind of viewing that from the outside, it can feel that way. But once you step through the veil and you're sitting with Jesus, you go, oh, you don't want me to do that because that brings heartache and chaos into my life. You don't want me to do that because that hurts someone else. You don't want me to. You see this, like, I get to be free. Wow, your law brings life and liberty to me. So now the second part of that. Obedience to God's word places you in a position of commitment to people, listen, above and beyond your feelings. Remember, we're talking about obedience is not a feeling. He says this. He says it's your commitment to people is beyond your feelings and sometimes contrary to them, the way that we interact with people in the world around us. He says this, and then surprise, surprise, you're acting in the only manner that has the power to create the positive feelings between yourself and others. I know that was a lot of words. Let me sum this up. He says, once you step into the law of God with the right mindset and you just embrace God's heart, you no longer see it as restricting. You see it as freeing. And then you start obeying. What he's saying is you start obeying, not because you feel like it, but sometimes even because you feel the opposite. And you start loving people, and you start walking humbly, you start living it out. And he said, surprise, surprise, here's what he gets to at the bottom here. He says, all of a sudden you're doing the things that has the power to create the feelings that you're missing. Well, I don't love them because I don't feel like loving them. What he's saying is once you obey God and start just acting out on that, That's what creates, pretty soon when you act in that manner, and we're going to see that here in a second, it starts creating those feelings inside of you. How many listened to Focus on the Family on Friday? Speaking of this, a little bit? Anybody at all? Well, you should. Go to Focus on the Family. It was Friday's, whatever Friday's date was. Look, May 13th. And it's on humility. And that's what we're talking about, obedience, but Christ showed his humility through his obedience. And it was Gary Thomas. He was talking on humility. And my wife and I do a date because she works here now. So every Friday we have a date lunch. We get dinner combo number 17 from Tacos El Bajillo. And he knows me now when I call. I say, hey, can I get an order to go? He goes, number 17? That's, yep. Okay, give me 10, 15 minutes. All right. It's a thing. And so it's pretty cool that we get to salvage, just we're both going to eat anyways, and so we get to have this little date time alone. And so I drove up to Tacos El Bajillo, which is a fantastic place if you've never eaten there. And Gary Thomas was on, and I just was mesmerized. And so I captured this quote because I'm like, he's talking about what we're going to be talking about Sunday. And so then yesterday, Marnie and I were in the van, and we were driving, and she's like, I came home Friday, and it was at night, and Focus on the Family was on, and this guy was on there. I'm like, yeah, Gary Thomas. Yeah. Oh, and he was talking, and I just heard a little bit of it, but it was so good. I said, yeah, I've got a Gary Thomas quote in there for Sunday. She's like, which one is it? So it's not wasn't the same one that she had heard, but it's such a good message. And it was about humility. And here's what he said. Now remember, obedience is not a feeling, okay? So this is his quote. He said, I believe it's inside out, but also outside in. What he means by that is it needs to begin with the inside out. We need the Holy Spirit to make it possible for us to change. But once the Holy Spirit redeems us and empowers us to do that, the more we act. Say act. The more we act in a humble way, the more humble we become. That's just it with neuroplasticity. That's the way that you become a better golfer or a better flute player or anything. Our brain is shaped by our actions. What do you, because the host was saying, well, how do you become, like, what's some keys here? How do you become more humble? Well, sure, you pray and you read the Word of God, you listen, you know, let God change your heart. But he was saying one of the things we do is you just start doing it, right? You just start living in a way that's more humble. And then all of a sudden on the inside, you start reacting to that. You do the right thing, and your insides start to catch up. And what I'm saying is, man, we got to be so careful that we just don't obey out of our feelings. Because, man, you're going to have great days, but then you're going to tank, right? You're going to have bad days. Eugene Peterson talks about this kind of concept like this. He says, we think that if we don't feel something, there can be no authenticity in doing it. Well, I don't feel like doing it, so maybe I'm being like a hypocrite. No, he's saying the wisdom of God says something different. He says that we can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we can feel ourselves into a new way of acting. Let me read that again. The wisdom of God says something different, that we can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we can feel ourselves into a new way of acting. Worship is an act that develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship. Now, I would say that it sometimes is that as well, but when we obey the command to praise God and worship, our deep, essential need to be in relationship with God is nurtured. And we want to talk about that, is nurtured. So it brings us to point number two. So obedience is not a feeling. Point number two is we obey what we love. And this is what I want to sing. If you get anything out of this today, I want you to, just as I walk through this point, a couple slides of it, just think about what this means for you and for your life. So Ty Gibson, we've already quoted him once today, he says that obedience is the love-motivated process of acting in accordance with God's word because you believe that you are living under his favor and that he only has your best interest at heart. Obedience is trust, which is fueled by love in action. It's this love for Jesus that I don't have to always feel like it. I just do it because it's right, and I believe that God has my best. God wouldn't tell me something that's contrary to my best interest. And if we're not convinced of that, I promise you we're not going to obey. We've got to get this idea of who God really is. He is the undisputed King of the universe. There is no equal, no one in the same hemisphere as him. And yet, he loves us. We're loved by him. We're dear to him. So when he gives us commands, he could already, if he wants to destroy you, if he wants to ruin your life, if he wants to make you miserable, he can do that. Like he doesn't need your permission to do that. He does not need your permission to destroy you. So if he's giving you a command or telling you to do something, it's for your benefit. And so when we solidify that in our heads, it's like, God is for me, not against me. So when he gives me his commandments, it brings life to me. It brings life. And that's what he wants for you, is abundant life. He doesn't want to see if he can pigeonhole you, oh, you got 9.5 commandments right, but boy, you messed it up on the 10th. Right? He's saying, no, come on, this brings life. Don't do that. No. Hey, back over here. Right? He wants to keep the guardrails of our life, keep us right down the center of his heart and will. He's like, man, that's where you're going to thrive. Oh, you're going to do so. Oh, child, you're going to do so good if you walk right down the center of what I've got for you. That's where you're going to, that's going to be your best place. You think your best place is right over here, but oh, man, I can see so much more than you can, God would say. You feel this and you see this and you think this. You've come to a conclusion. It's sincere, but it's wrong. Right down the center of what I'm telling you is where life is at. That's what he's saying. Beth Moore says, trying to obey God before we've come to love God can be exhausting. When we love God, we simply want to listen and obey. Right? When we love God, we simply want to listen and obey. When we love him, it's about our love. It's about our love. It's about the love of our heart. Where is your love pointed at? Because I promise you, that's what you're going to easily obey. I'm not going to say that you might still obey God's on, but it's going to be a struggle. So it's not so much an obedience problem. It's more of a love problem. What do I love? And I think Jesus cracks this open. Let me see this and show you this in John 14. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. I don't think he's saying, I think he's stating something that is a fact. More than, and it is a command, but even more than a command, I think he's pulling back the curtains on our hearts, showing us how we're built. If you really love Jesus, he's not saying you'll prove your love to me and you'll that's a piece of it. That's a facet of it. But that, at the heart of it, what he's saying is, show me what you obey and I'll show you what you love. If I love me, I'm going to really struggle to obey God because I want to do what I want to do. If I love money, right? If I love fame and popularity, if I love, quote unquote, 2022 freedom, right? I'm going to have a hard time getting pigeonholed into what, it doesn't fit. But if I love Jesus, it then begins to change my mindsets. It changes the way that I'm like, okay, I love Jesus. And I know he loves me. So I want to listen to his word. Jesus said, my Father will love them and will come and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Like, it just, if you don't love God, you can't consistently walk in obedience because you love something else. Like, I think more than just a harsh command here, which there is command here, but more than that, he's just pulling back the curtain on how you're built. He's just saying, George, if you love Jesus, like, it'll show up in your obedience, and it'll be kind of easy. But if you love the world, Stan, just that love for God isn't going to be in you, because it's not the right environment for it. It doesn't stick. It just falls out. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Listen to this in 1 John. 1 John 2, 5, and 6 says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. Do you see that? This completion of your love. There's like subject and object, right? Kind of old school English, right? Like this outlet for my love for God is my obedience. It's how I walk out this love for him. And he's just telling us this is what it's going to look like. This is how we know we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Like, if I really love God, that it shows me, it reveals to me where my heart is at. God, I want my heart to follow you. And that's why we're going to look at 1 John again a little further in this chapter. And that's why there's a warning like this. Because this is, if we know this is true, like, it will become second nature for me to obey God if I love him. Like if I cultivate that love for Jesus, obedience is just a natural, like, I don't have to, like, it just flows out of me then. Because I want to, I love him. Of course, like, sure there's struggle, sure there's bad days. But on a heart level, yeah, absolutely I want to obey God. And so that's why I think he gives us warnings like this. He says, don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And then he pulls back the curtain on the world. He says, everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that doesn't come from the Father, but it comes from the world. Like, you're so tempted to love those things. He's saying, just watch out, because you're going to struggle with obedience. You're going to end up not walking with God. Because your love isn't there, and you need that atmosphere of love in your heart, love for the Father, love for Jesus, to cultivate obedience. Otherwise, it's just going to be this struggle. I love over here, but I want to obey God, but I love over here, right? And it's going to look awkward like that, right? The world and its desires. You got to remember, every one of these harsh commands in the Bible is given for a benefit. It's given out of the love of Jesus for us. And what he's saying is the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. What he's saying is act that out. Be obedient. Because don't link yourself to something that's dying and going away. Don't get on a sinking ship. John is saying, I love you guys too much. God loves you guys. Like, man, that's so tempting to hook your line into that thing over there, but it's just death. It's like, don't do it, because you're going to struggle. Your heart is going to always be in this position of fighting to obey God. And then it's just going to be religion for you. And it's like, well, I got to do this. That's not fun. And it's not going to last, because you're tied to that thing and it's going to pull you down. Our obedience follows our love. And that's why we're always rekindling our love for Jesus. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we worship. It's like, my heart wants to go astray. My heart wants to have other things in it. I want to worship so that I get this fresh, right? That's why we go on dates. That's why we have family nights with our kids, or, you know, go do cool things with them, or take them to amusement parks or whatever. It's not because they deserve it, because we all know they don't. Just kidding. Kidding. It's to cultivate these relationships. It's to build, like, right? Well, I guess we have to go do this with our kids, or I guess I got to do this with my wife or whatever. Like, we want to keep those flames of our heart kindled, because then the other stuff flows so easily. Do we get that? I felt like you got that. I felt like, and this is, if there's one point today, it's this one. Like, guys, it's not an obedience problem. It's a love problem. Gentlemen, the most manly thing that you can do is let your heart be soft to Jesus. Come on, guys. Be a man. Let your heart fall in love with Jesus. Well, that sounds kind of sissy and like more like girl stuff, right? It kind of does. I'm with you. But I'm telling you what, you are going to be the best man that you were meant to be when your heart falls in love with Jesus. Amen? That's not her job. It's just, no, that's your job. Keep your heart soft. Learn to serve. Learn to be humble. Learn to worship. Learn, like, start small. Do something. Start small, but do something. Like, don't just be like, well, I'm just, you know, they're kind of, I'm not. Shut up. Man, your job is more than just littering the floor with your dirty underwear and grunting, okay? Just soften your heart towards Jesus, and you'll watch your life flourish. Obedience to his word will start to become second nature. And ladies, the thing you're missing is not some hairy armed man and just wrapping around you and telling you everything you never needed to hear. What you need is Jesus. Cultivate that love, right? Come on, that's the thing that is going to bring about the softness in your heart where God can be like, okay, let's do this thing. Rekindle on a regular basis. Don't just read the Bible. So I'm like, if you're going to not read the Bible or read it so you get your devotions in, I pick get your devotions in, okay? But if you're going to get your devotions in versus reading the Bible to let it saturate your heart and soften it, like do that one. Like that's the one that we're aiming for. Versus not at all, okay, at least get some Bible in. But every day, see if you can present yourself before the Word of God. Say, God, what does your word have for me today? Let me see Jesus in this. And let me fall in love with Jesus. And as you read it, see the beauty of God. See the beauty of God. Oh, wow, God, look at how you corrected Israel. Oh, wow, look at how David was hurting in the Psalms and you answered his prayer. God, you are so amazing. Oh, and I shouldn't be. Oh, wow, I did have a bad attitude yesterday. I don't want to do that. Hey, just want to let you know, sorry about, I was kind of a crab yesterday. Yep. Okay, thanks for forgiving. Right? Just want to be obedient. And it's just, all of a sudden, it just, like, I love Jesus. I don't want to be the kind of person that he's doesn't want me to be. Obedience becomes natural then. Listen to this. In like, the church is in Revelation, right? Those are kind of scary things because God's like, yeah, you're okay here, but man, look at this rebuke that, in Revelation, this is the church of Ephesus. Yet I hold this against you. Listen, you've forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you're fallen. Repent and do. Like cultivate the love and let me see that out of your doing. Not to earn love. No. That's wrong. But because you're loved. And if we're not flowing in obedience, that's just giving me an insight that my heart is loving the wrong things. And he's just saying, just look at what you're not doing anymore. And check your heart. Check your heart. Another Andrew Murray. No words could express, we're kind of in mid-thought here, so we don't know what the words were that he was talking about, but no words could express more simply or more powerfully the glorious place Christ gives to obedience. Listen, obedience is only possible with a loving heart. Obedience opens the door to all that God has to give of his Holy Spirit, of his wonderful love, and of his indwelling in Christ Jesus. Our obedience follows our love. Are you still with me? We'll finish real quick within the last point here. We obey, oh, it's not a feeling. We obey what we love, and obedience brings blessing. You guys, let's end with this. Let's end on a high note. All right? The blessing of the Lord is found in obedience, and you can't escape that over and over and over again in Scripture. One more from Ty here says, obedience isn't legalism unless you believe that God's an arbitrary control freak who hates you. But listen to what he says. If you believe that God's on your side, a God of tender love who only has your best interests at heart, well then, in that case, obedience is the smartest thing we can do. It's the most intelligent course we can take. If God really is that kind of God, well then obedience, woo, right? Sign me up. Because he knows what I need, and he knows what I want, and he knows what's good for me. That's the kind of God I want to serve, and that's the kind of God he is. But as long as I hold him, this view of him, that he's this meanie in the sky, I never want to do what he wants me to do. But if I know that by his grace he set me free, yeah, what else you got for me? Like, tell me what to do, and this is going to be good. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, you guys know this verse. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise. Listen to this. If you honor your father and mother, obedience brings blessing. Things will go well for you and you'll have a long life on earth. Obedience brings blessing. There's this position of our heart. Now, read Deuteronomy 6:3. Remember? to hear and to sit under, kind of that hearing his voice, listening for the voice of God. Hear, O Israel, be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Now, we're going to close with this, some verses, and then one more Andrew Murray quote. I'm going to read all of this for you. We're going to read it fast. We're going to not comment on it. Your eyes are going to glaze over because it's 14 verses of intensity in Deuteronomy here. But this is God's promise to the nation of Israel. If you obey, if you will listen to my voice and you obey, he's going, guys, you can't imagine what I've got in store for you if you obey. If you don't obey, holy cow, you can't imagine how rough it's going to be. It's going to be bad for you. It's going to be bad for your kids. It's going to be bad for anyone who even knows your name. It's going to be, you're going to get captured. You're going to get beat up. You're going to be, but this is the blessings part of it. And this is, again, this is Old Testament. It's for the nation of Israel. God was wanting to set them apart. But I still pray these kind of things over you guys all the time. But listen to this, okay? Buckle your seatbelts, because this is what, I want you to see God's heart in this. I want you to see the heart of God. If you position your hearts towards obedience, all right. Well, here's what I want. You think you're doing good by obeying? Watch this. Watch what I'm going to do for you. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Here we go. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. I said I wasn't going to comment. You'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They'll come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, in the young of your livestock, in the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I give you on this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from the commands I give you today, not to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. How is that for just an overwhelming avalanche of God's heart? Man, walk in obedience, and there's just, you're still going to have problems, right? We still live in a real world. They still had to fight giants, right? They still got skirt, right? They still had to go to war. They still had to do the stuff. But God made this vow to them that if you set your hearts to obey me, I'll set my heart to bless you. Last quote, and we're done for today. Andrew Murray says, we begin to see it. Our disobedience comes from our not knowing Christ correctly. Obedience is only possible in a life of unceasing fellowship with him. The inspiration of his voice, the light of his eyes, the grasp of his hand make it possible and make it certain. Come, let us bow down and yield ourselves to this Christ, obedient to death in the faith that he makes us partakers with himself, of all he is and has. Listen to his voice, hear and obey. The more we listen and come under him, the more obedience just becomes natural. It becomes the thing that is the most common. It makes the most sense to me. When I love Jesus, obedience starts to make, it just makes sense. Of course God loves me. Of course he's given me parameters to walk in. Of course he knows that my heart's wicked. Why would I not want to obey him and love him and serve him and honor him? Amen? You made it through 2 weeks of obedience. I am impressed. Thank you guys for sticking with it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for setting your hearts towards Jesus. Let's just pray it today. Lord, I just bless this people. Lord, all these blessings that I read off, God, we bless them. We bless most of all with soft hearts that say yes to you, Jesus. And I just pray today that you would surround us with your love. Let us know that it's only by your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good. Give everyone a great day. Bless the city cleanup today. May it go well and everyone be safe. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.